Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Scott Stemmen Podcast. I'm so excited to be here again, another week, another topic, and our topic may not interest a lot of our listeners, but if you're part of the Church of God, this may, of Anderson, Indiana, this may interest you because we have gotten a letter from the Ministries Council of the National Church of God with kind of an update on the general director position. So we're going to kind of talk about that letter and break it down. But joining me for this conversation is Micah. Micah, how are you doing?
Another Monday, man. I can't believe that my wife and I were talking about it, but we're almost to May, and it's like the stupid Ohio weather will not make up its mind, right? Like, I went outside this morning and Alicia was on her way to work and there was frost on her car. I'm like, what? So, yeah, another day, hopefully. I mean, like, our trees have already bloomed and stuff. So, like, we already have leaves and stuff. So it's like, I think spring's here. It's just a lot colder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like, anytime when I look at seed packets, it's always like, well, don't plant anything to May. And there's always that temptation, like, oh wow, we're having a lot of great warm weather, a little bit of cooler days, a little bit of warmer days. Maybe it's okay to plant stuff. And then it's always like, oh, towards the end of April, like, freeze warning. And you're just like, oh no, like, no freezing, please. So yeah. So there's just a lot of, so that's always strange to see how quickly the weather can change. And even like my son, he's wearing shorts and he goes, Peter, I'm like, you might want to put pants on. He goes, oh, well, how cold is it? Like, winter cold. He goes, uh-uh. Then he goes, Alexa. Shouldn't say that because I have a device up here. But see if it's turned on. But it would be like, what's the weather? And she's like, 33 degrees. And he's like, I'm like, yeah, that's like 30 degrees is when it starts snowing. You might want to put pants on. He's like, okay, why don't you walk to school without me? And he went back upstairs, changed his changed out of shorts into sweatpants and started running and chasing after us to get to school. But yeah, this crazy stuff. And boy. So before we dive into our topic, stories gone wild. Micah, do you have a story for us?
I do, but like, I think it ties more into today's topic. So if you want to go yeah, first,
I'll go first then. Yeah.
I don't know if your story has anything to do with the topic today, but mine is more aimed towards that.
No. So my story's gone wild happened yesterday. It was, one of the things that I thought was interesting is it was, usually the last Sunday of the month, I do our children's moment, which is I go up during service or someone goes up during service. They kind of do like a little kid story time. And then from there, then the kids go up to Sunday school during the service. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, we do that, whatever. So the person who's supposed to do it this Sunday was having a procedure, so she wouldn't be there Sunday. So then I said, oh, I can take over. So I went and I was doing this children's moment. And I'm doing it. And sometimes there's certain kids you just don't call on because you know that what they're going to say has nothing to do with what you're talking about. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking. I'm doing this illustration about our faith. And I'm using a balloon as a physical example about how we can grow in our faith and how our faith depletes and everything else. So I talked a little bit about that with the kids. And then the pastor goes, oh, hey, Scott, this kid has a question. I go, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, what did you want to ask? And at this, now you have to remember that I'm wearing my Chuck Taylors and I always mismatch my Chuck Taylors on purpose. So I'm wearing like a red and blue Chuck Taylor on my foot while I'm talking. And the question he asked had nothing to do with anything I was talking about. He goes, why are you wearing two different color shoes? And I go, that's a very good question. So I just kind of say, well, it's just kind of a sense of style. And it's just like a personal choice I like to do. And that's it. And that was it. So we kind of goes, but then the pastor starts saying like, oh, I think I know why you put on two different color shoes. And I'm thinking, okay, where's this going? And she goes, you know, when I used to work in chaplaincy, there was one time I woke up and I went and got dressed real quick. I was running behind. I was really tired, blah, blah, blah. She went to work and she had her heels on And one of them was a black shoe and one of them was a brown shoe. And she was just walking around like that. And everyone kept like smiling and laughing. And she's like, oh, why are people so having such a joyous time here today at the hospital? And she didn't realize that she was wearing two different colored shoes. It's like, okay. And I just kind of laughed because I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense with me because I'm not slipping these on. I'm actually physically have to tie these shoes around my ankles. It's one of those things where I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like the little things you do and just kind of the curiosity of kids. No, not even a comment for about that one.
No, I was just thinking, like, you never know. You never know what kids are going to say, especially like, in public settings like that. In most cases, like when there's public speakers or anything, whether it's church or otherwise, it's like, I also enjoy kids' timing too, right? Like
Oh,
the
yeah.
it's, it always makes for a good laugh. So.
Oh, yeah. I like the story you told, or it wasn't the story, it was an adult who said that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, he has some sort of, bipolar or Tourette's or something, and
Yeah.
we've been going to that church for a couple of months now, and it's like that guy, he goes every week, and when worship happens, he dances in place, and there's a, I mean, there's something there. I don't know, I've not asked, but
Yeah.
like yesterday we were talking about peace. And if you walk around with unforgiveness in your heart, you're not going to have peace. And the pastor goes, he's like, well, what? He's like, what are you going to have when you let go of that unforgiveness and forgive people? And the guy goes, peace, right in the middle of a sermon. So I mean, it was great. I mean, perfect timing.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Wonderful. So, yeah, and I think that's always great about kids because I think they're just so honest and they're willing to ask those honest questions. Like they're not the type of people who are going to be tactful with what they're going to say or kind of have a filter on or even just kind of say like, "Well, I shouldn't say that since it's not appropriate." You know. If a kid's curious about something, they're just going to speak it. And I think that's kind of great. And I think that's something that us adults can kind of learn sometimes, just to be honest and transparent about things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Micah, your story's gone wild.
Sure. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the general director at the Church of God search update. Last week we got an email about just, I guess it's from Church of God Ministries. And I had to forward it to you because apparently you're not on listservs at all. But the idea was that they were going to update us on where they were with the search. And they also attached a link to a survey, or not really a survey, a result, like a page of results from a survey that was taken by just, I guess, a bunch of pastors and lay leaders in the church. I'm not sure the details, but anyway, I'm reading through that. I had to forward it to you. You were like, oh my goodness. I texted Jeanette Flynn and she was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? And not surprised by the results. And so randomly, I texted a friend of mine who's also a Church of God pastor, and he's also a professor at Mid-America
Okay.
College in Oklahoma. And he and I have just been playing phone tag for a year, basically, and we've been texting and whatnot. And so finally we were able to connect last week, and it was so good to hear his voice. And he's just a wonderful person. And I'm not going to say his name for obvious reasons, but we were talking about kind of the state of the Church of God. And I don't know if he had read this survey or not, but I think that there is a general consensus amongst pastors and church leadership across the board within respect to our generation, our age, I'm saying like 30 to 50, anywhere in there, that they just, the results are pretty accurate, right, of the survey. And something that he told me was like, he asked me how I was doing and how I thought things were going in the Church of God. And I was like, well, I just think that there's no direction, there's no vision, there's no passion, there's no fire. And if there is, the folks that are leading churches that are our age are kind of just keeping it to themselves or just, doing it over here on the side, even though they're kind of associated with the Church of God by proxy. They're, just not, they're not as active on a national level, which isn't helping the cause at the national level, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today. But he kind of solidified, I guess, my opinion of where I think the church is right now. And I think it's no different than our government. It's just an interesting conversation and an interesting dichotomy of like this generational grasp of things, in respect to the generation before us, that they don't want to retire, they don't want to give up power, they're power hungry, they just want to, and it's just it's really bizarre if you ask me. You got a generation before us that doesn't want to give up power, they don't want to retire, they don't want to move on. You got our generation who's trying to kind of facilitate and keep things going, and then you got a generation after us who just doesn't care. And we're kind of stuck in the middle. And we've talked about that numerous times, but it was interesting to hear that because he told me that it's not just, me and him who think that way, but there are a lot of pastors middle-aged across the country who kind of feel and share the same sentiment that we do.
And I actually was able to talk to a buddy of mine. We went to the same church. He's pastoring out in over like in the Nebraska area, and we were just talking, and we were just trying to catch up because it's been a while since we caught up. And it's interesting because one of his mentors is someone who's been in the Church of God for years, have served on like the state level, local churches, national level, kind of done it all that you can do within the Church of God movement. And they're just kind of talking about stuff, and there was a couple comments that were made. Some of it was just kind of, and we kind of, also we were talking about this executive summary too, and I think everything that you're saying is pretty much the conversation you had with your friend is pretty much the same thing we were having with I was having with my friend, that there's yikes. And actually, it was interesting because this person who's been a part of the Church of God for years, as he was talking, and one of the things he said to my buddy says, I would just like it for at least once for you to be in a either a church that is a healthy church or a church that has really strong leadership where you don't have to do everything. And then the next comment was, you may not find that in the Church of God. And I looked at him, I go, well, with me working at a Methodist church as a Church of God person working at a Methodist church, like I can see that. Like I'm really benefiting from working in a place where there's strong leadership. And not just from the pastoral side or staff side, but also from a our lay leaders too, like just strong leadership throughout. And it's just like, and I sit there and I'm like, oh my gosh, board meetings can only last an hour. They don't have to last 3 hours because everyone feels like they have to like say their piece or tell their story every topic we have to talk about. Like it's interesting, like we can get on task and say clear, say still stay very clear and cut to the point. Like cool.
Well, one of the things that really it bothered me in reading this, and I called you last week when I got this, and I said, "Hey, did you get this email?" And you were like, "No," and I'm like, "Well, I need to forward it to you." And you were like, "Go ahead and forward it to me." Was in the body of the email, not really the summary, but like the paragraph before the link to the summary. It talks about the executive summary of the survey is at the button below. The survey suggests that the Church of God movement continues to see herself. They called it, never mind, denomination. Continues to see herself in the same quadrant of crisis as nearly an identical survey that was administered in 2012, which is, what was that,
11
12
years
years
ago.
ago,
Oh yeah,
11, 12
12
years
years.
ago.
Well, when they technically 11 years when they did the survey in 2023.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it would be 12 years now.
Yeah. And it says this concerning matter of ministries council inserts you can get, despite the low energy and low satisfaction. There is a in bold, it says strong motivation for change. Among the 92% looking for some level of change in the movement in order to make significant progress in our vision for the Church of God's future.
We're going to talk about that because looking through just this survey and looking at how they broke it down, I have some really, really big questions about some of these findings too.
Well, I just, the thing that really bothered me was like there's a strong desire for change, and yet there's not change. And it's
Yeah.
like I get really sick and tired of the 37 years that I've been on this planet and been involved in the Church of God, where people said they're going to change and they're going to do stuff and they're going to change and they're going to do stuff, and they don't. It gets really disheartening. And it's like, do you want to change? But then they get stuck on this. I'm gonna, just get really upset. But it's just like they get really stuck on this. Oh, it's our heritage and the doctrine of our faith and theology and hymns. I'm like, dude, the worship wars happened 24 years ago. Stop it. Like, you need to get off of the high horse and move ministry forward, preach the word of God, make disciples, and make a difference in this world, which is what God called us to do. And it just continues to bother me, the fact that, we say we want change and we don't. I don't know
Yeah.
where you want to go with this conversation. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I know. Well, let's just
It's
go ahead and
aggravating. You're sitting in a UMC church working as a Him We Love pastor, and I'm going to a Baptist church right now just because I feel like there's no, like, it is so nice to go to church and hear the word of God and not have to deal with the drama and the simple, quite frankly, the arrogance that goes along with the name of the Church of God.
ooh, let's talk about that then. So
I'm
nice
sorry.
transitional point, but let's just go ahead and move right to it. So, yeah, so like Micah said, in Monday, so this would have been like Monday afternoon on the 15th of April, there was an email that was sent out to the General Assembly, which I still don't know why I didn't get this email because I'm part of the General Assembly. I am paying my dues to keep my license in active and everything else. So we got to figure that out, why I'm not getting these emails. But anyway, but like you said, they talked about the crisis quadrant. So to explain the crisis quadrant, when you actually open up this executive summary, the people who did the assessment, which is NL Moore and Associates and HCC, administered the VISTA landscape assessment for the Church of God movement. So the VISTA landscape is four quadrants, and it's based on energy and satisfaction. And there's four quadrants with this. So if you have a low energy, low satisfaction quadrant, that is considered a recovery quadrant. If you have high energy but low satisfaction, that's considered a chaos quadrant. Low energy, high satisfaction means you're just kind of keeping the status quo. And high energy and high satisfaction means that transformation is happening. So those are kind of the four quadrants. Now, in 2012, when they did this assessment back in 2012, the Church of God was pretty close right in the middle of that quadrant, which is the recovery, low energy, low satisfaction. In 2023, 11 years later, we're still in the same recovery quadrant, but when you look at it, we're kind of moving a little, like we've moved, our energy is a little bit higher than it was in 2012, and it's slightly more headed in the right direction for satisfaction. So there is kind of this slow movement. Like if this is 2012 here, and if you're listening to this, you're not going to see me do this with my hands. But if you're right in the middle, it's almost just like up and to the right a little bit. So there has been some change. I'd be more concerning if the star was right exactly at 2012, like on the dot. I'd be like, okay, we're in big trouble. Like we haven't changed in 11 years. Still, we haven't changed that much, but at least there's something happening. But going back to the actual body of the email, with all this information, they said, based on the information gathered today, as well as the general statement of the leaders within the movement, The Ministry Council agreed by consensus to an intentional strategic transitional pivot. During the transitional pivot, several things will take place. Appoint a temporary transitional leader, research alternative or new work and structure models for the movement, listen to key influencers and stakeholders in the movement, and continue to seek direction from the head of the church, Jesus. So let's break down these three points. Appoint a temporary transitional leader. I think that's a good idea. I think that's what Jeanette, when we talked about interim with Jeanette, this is something that she was trying to fight for the general director position. Let's get an interim in here to really kind of help us move in a direction. Try to help us figure out where our dysfunctions are.
That's what she texted me the other day. When I sent her that screenshot, she was like, "Yes, we." She's like, "I begged and I pleaded with the leadership council to pause, take a break, not rush into getting a new general director, trying to get something else, going, just like what you said, with some sort of like revamp of structure." In a way to, really assess how we are and what we're doing and what we can do better. And, Jeanette said this months ago to me on a phone conversation we were having, but she was like, she got asked to serve on the search committee for the general director position. And I think Jeanette's in her 70s now. And Jeanette's like, I don't want to do this. Why are they asking me to do this? Yes, she has, a good name in the Church of God, and yes, she's one of the most phenomenal speakers I've ever heard, and she has a lot of experience in writing curriculum and books and XYZ. And in my opinion, it would be stupid, not to ask her opinion about things. But she, I think the point she was trying to convey to me was that, I've had my time. Why can't we ask some of these other folks to do this and get more younger and newer faces involved as a part of getting this, getting the Church of God back on track, so to speak?
And it's interesting too, because I feel like the people here are in, and I mean, it's like this. Anytime when you're in a leadership position, you're always going to pick people that you know and people that you kind of trust that you know will do good work. So if I'm someone who's in my 60s or 70s and I'm on this ministries council board, I'm thinking, okay, who can I have help us in our transition for our new general director? Well, hey, let's grab Jeanette, because we know Jeanette. We know she does good work. No one's saying, hey, we have this guy named Scott who is getting his doctorate in transformation leadership, who's working on a doctorate on how to do smooth and healthy transitions in the church. We won't ask him because I'm not a butt kisser of the Church of God. Or I'm too young, so I don't hit a certain criteria because I don't have, or I haven't done enough work in the Church of God to propel me to a place where, like, my name is now in the upper echelon or the Mount Rushmore of the Church of God, which, you know what? I'm perfectly fine being at the bottom. Like, I don't need to be at the top, because it gets lonely at the top sometimes.
What
So,
is it? One is the lowliest number.
yeah. So fast forward to research also, then to other two parts, research alternate or new working structure models for the movement. I'm curious what this research is going to look like, because anytime when I hear the Church of God say we're going to research something, we throw a bunch of money at something, we research it, we report our findings, and then nothing happens. And even when I was at the Ohio GA a couple years ago, when Dan Turner was speaking in the Justice and Equity Task Force, when they were still getting survey stuff and was still doing stuff in their findings, one of the things that he even said, like, the history of the Church of God is we do all this research and we come up to these conclusions and this is what we need to do. And then all this research data is in a book and we put it in the archives and it stays there and nothing ever happens. And I feel like if we're going to research an alternate or new working structure model for the movement, What does that mean? Because I feel like you're going to do some research and you're going to get to that take. Wow. The way the UMC does their, how they work on a national level or even an international level is very good. It's very, they may say it's all this stuff, but it doesn't fit with our heritage. Because everybody should, because everybody should be able to have the right to vote or do whatever or do this. And you look at it and you go, well, okay, but even during, and I see your hand, Mike. I'll get
No,
to
I don't want to forget what I'm going to
you. Okay, hold it up. But,
say.
they may say that, but at the same time, and I'll say this, like even with the UMC, even though we had had a split, and now you have the UMC and the Global Methodist, and some decide to go independent. Those kind of split those three ways. The UMC has been around for so long and it has such a good structure that even during a split, they're still able to be viable and still able to be effective in its mission and what they're doing. Where if a schism happened in the Church of God, I really don't know where the heck we would be.
Well,
Just
some would
saying.
argue
So,
that
Mike,
we
what were you?
already don't
What,
know. Some would say we
yes.
already don't know because we don't have any idea.
Yeah.
I was going to say that ultimately, I think the Church of God's attitude and arrogance is going to ultimately be its demise. Its own arrogance and foolishness is going to be its demise.
Yeah.
And, I think you're going to see churches still hold the name of Church of God, but they're just going to split off and do their own thing, or they're already doing their own thing. We did a podcast, I don't know, like maybe a year ago, and we were talking about how the price of dues, this is after the
Yeah.
national conference a couple of years ago, where the price of dues went up, and it's like, well, what happens if you don't pay your dues? Like, are you just not a part of it?
Yeah.
And I've been told nothing happens. But it's interesting. It's like, well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
If Scott, Dr. Reverend Dr. Scott Stedman was chosen to be the general director of the Church of God today, and this is all hypothetical, what would you do to change it? Like, what are some changes that you would make nationally, locally, state? And if you had,
Okay.
like, if you had, there was nobody fighting you, there was no resistance, like, what would you do to make the Church of God better?
So the first thing I would do is when it comes, and since you mentioned dues, let's just start right there because that's fresh off the top. When it comes to dues, here's what I would do when it comes to the church dues or the pastoral dues, right? So if you were to give me, let's say, like, what is it now? $60. It's going to go up to $80. Like, how much is our dues
85, I
now?
think.
85. So you give me, so for you as a pastor, you have given the church God $85 to keep your dues current, to keep your ordination active and everything else. In that $85, we're going to do a couple things. First thing we're going to do is we are going to go ahead and give you some type of incentives. So for an example, we have this Be Bold Academy that you have to pay for. I mean, if you're Church of God and you're regular due, and it is our vision to make sure that we have healthy pastors leading healthy churches for transformation, that's going to be free to you. You're not going to have to pay anything to, or if we don't have any type of leadership thing, we will find some type of leadership thing to be able to say, hey, here's something that's going to help you, whether it's a subscription to Right Now Media, whether it's a subscription to any type of church leadership site. We're going to give you some of this stuff to do. I think the other thing we may do is I may try to see if I could work something out with other third parties, like maybe like a Logos, and just say, hey, when you renew, you're going to get $20 to spend in the Logos store. That can be spent on commentaries, that can be spent on anything. So it's something to kind of, again, help prepare the pastors to be better in their stewardship, in their study, or even in some type of leadership. And then I think everything else, if you have paid your dues, we're going to give you a discount. So for an example, these regional conferences, instead of you paying, $250 to go to that, plus, we're going to say, you know what, since you're a church of God, we're going to go ahead and we're going to cut that price for you because you're a pastor and we want to show. Now, where's all this money coming from? I don't know, because I don't have the budget of the Church of God. So I don't know. But I feel like if I'm able to give some incentives to the pastor that's going to help them succeed, then I feel like at the end, that's really going to help drive them to be more connected to what's happening nationally within the Church of God. Because the Church of God is saying, hey, we care about you. We're going to do some stuff to build you up. When it comes to churches who now have to pay, what, $300, maybe
I don't
more,
remember something
it's a lot
stupid.
of money. It's a lot of money. So for the churches who have to give money to us, well, first you get the 501c3, which, okay, you're covered under our 501c3. It would be nice, and I don't know how it would work. It would be nice that instead of individual churches trying to find their own like insurance company, it would be nice if they pay their dues, they're kind of under our umbrella for like any type of insurance, liability insurance, everything else to kind of protect the churches and protect the assets. I think that would be something that would be good. Again, this is ideal. I don't have the Church of God national budget in front of me. So if you're listening, like, this guy's an idiot, he doesn't know what he's talking about. The third thing is I would give you a report for your church, a 2.5 radius, telling you about demographics so you can understand what type of changes have happened in your community. The best, and really it's data, but what that's going to do, it's going to help you really figure out, okay, before we used to have like a lot of like white collar workers in our community. Now it's a bunch of blue collar workers. We have a 35% poverty rate within our 2.5 radius. What ministries can we do to really impact and help the people within our 2.5 radius? And that would be given to you free. You don't have to pay for a subscription to get that data. You won't have to do anything. And I think if you do that, for church, and then there might be some other things that I might do for like the churches to pay to do. But I think with that should kind of help. Again, we're equipping, and that's the big thing. I'm equipping churches to be effective to do things, and also making sure we care about you and we're protecting them. And I think, and I mean, because that's the thing. If I'm paying $300 for my church to stay active as a Church of God congregation, and the only thing I'm getting is a 501c3, which I could probably get like a grant writer, pay a grant writer like $80 to do all that work for me and get my own 501c3 independently without the Church of God overseeing me, then what other benefits am I getting? And that's been the big head scratcher. We're raising our rates, but everything's still staying the same. And I guess we're probably paying the people in the national office, but to be fair, from the data we have seen, a lot of people have been less engaged. So we're paying more money to the national office with our dues and with our licensing for our church. And yet, or even that's another thing. Maybe instead of you having to pay for like Song Select, maybe the Church of God should get like an overall Song Select subscription, and all churches who pay their dues now have access to Song Select. And then that way, you don't have to worry about, oh, especially your smaller churches. Oh, well, we need to have a CCLI license because we want to play contemporary songs, but we don't. So you're either doing it illegally and could really get in trouble if someone reports you, or you just decide, well, we're just going to do hymns all the time because we have this Church of God hymn book. So we're just going to sing out of this because we can't afford to sing any contemporary songs because we don't have a license, or we're going to do it illegally. So. I bet you if we did a survey, how many of you actually have like a license to play like contemporary music? I bet you anything, there would be a lot of churches who probably don't. And it's not, and I'd be surprised how many of them are the larger churches too, think they could get away with it. But anyway, yeah. So I mean, that's what I would do because, and that's just one thing. I think there's a lot of other things as far as how we run and how we do business. Like that's going to be tricky because, there's a lot that goes on in there. But then here's the last point, and I want to get to this before you really dive into the actual assessment summary. Listen to key influencers and stakeholders in the movement and continue to seek directions from the head of the church, Jesus. I understand, let's listen to key influencers and stakeholders in the movement. Well, I have an issue with that because your key influencers and stakeholders are the people who are your big pro Church of God people. And I think I would say we would listen to people within the movement, and I would listen to your key stakeholders and your key influencers in the Church of God. But I would also listen to some who are kind of like your small local pastors, because the movement is made up of both the large church pastors and the small church pastors. And the fact is if we're not being able to listen to both sides of those smaller churches, if we're going to listen to the key influencers who have made big moves in the Church of God, if we're only listening to people like your Jeanette Flynns, your Rod Staffers, your Joshua Brants, your Jeffrey Fry Myers, your Merle Streggies, your Nathan Willoughbys, if you're mentioning these people who are kind of big names in the Church of God or your influencers, I'm sure they will say, like, hey, here's what we think's going on. Here's the things that we think is heading in the wrong direction. And I think they will give some good sound advice, don't get me wrong. But I feel like you're going to hear just this one pool thing, and you're not really hitting kind of some of the hidden places within the movement that are kind of real problems. The real problems for those people within the movement may be different from the real problems that we see in other places in the movement. So I think when we talk about, and I would also say it may be a good idea, and I know this, it may be a good idea if you can get like someone who is not part of the movement. I mean, get someone from like a Baptist church, get someone from like a Wesleyan church who are like in the upper echelons within their leadership, and have them, and maybe even get someone who's like a business person who maybe has no affiliation with the movement, but they're like a really good business person, does a lot of leadership, and have them really sit and talk and go, okay, here's your structure. Here's kind of the direct, and look at it and go, okay, this is kind of, if you say you're going to do this, or if your mission is you want to make sure that your congregations are changed through change pastors, which I know that was the vision for Ohio Ministries back when Randall Spence was the general director, then what are we doing to really take care of the pastors? Because I think raising the rate on their dues
Isn't gonna help.
is not really helping, especially if you're giving them no benefit or giving them no good, clear reason about why you're raising the rate. And then also not even giving any consequence of, hey, like if I don't pay my dues, what happens? Well, we'll talk about it. We'll give you a warning. Like, okay, there's none of that. So, that's what I would say. Like, I feel like temporary transitional leadership, absolutely 100%. Research alternative, I have some concerns about that, depending on what you're doing with that research, if you're actually going to put it into action or not. Which again, putting it to action in the Church of God means it has to be approved by the General Assembly. So, and you, however you view that, if that's healthy, a good way of doing things or not, is we'll leave that up to you. And then also to listen to key influencers and stakeholders in the movement. I listen. What do you mean by in the movement? Like I would say, let's not everybody needs to have voiced their opinion because that's why we have this survey in the first place for the people who did it. But really point out, okay, we want these people who are kind of big names in Church of God, but we're also going to kind of pick some of these people that maybe we know from our local settings who we value their opinion because they're trustworthy. They're someone who really is very keen as far as leadership, and we're going to go ahead and bring them into the table to the really get a good rounded view of kind of where we need to go. And then, of course, seek direction from the head of the church, Jesus. Absolutely. Like, I mean, my whole research that I'm doing, my big thing is, are we putting Jesus at the center of our transitions? Or are we just putting what makes good business sense? So I think that's kind of some key things. Any other stuff from this, like just the body of this email before we dive right into the summary, the assessment?
I guess if I'm being nitpicky, the email starts out, "Dear partners in the ministry of the gospel." I don't feel like a partner.
Mm.
And I would say that a lot of folks don't feel that way.
Yeah. And
But we
maybe
can go.
and
We could, I mean,
well.
I know for the sake of time, I mean, or this could be a two-part episode. I don't know, but
Well,
just the there's a lot to this.
but Micah, what you said, I don't feel like I'm a partner. Let's just get to the statistics. First thing, engagement trends. Over the last 3 years, how has your congregation's engagement with the Church of God Ministries, national and global ministries, changed? 75% less engaged, 13% about the same, 12% more engaged. So we're really seeing less engagement within our movement. And again, this is asking about congregations, but I think your point is valid that as people who are ordained in the Church of God, as people who are leaders in the Church of God, whether you are working in a Church of God church, whether you are a Church of God ordained minister that's working in a hospital as a chaplain, whether you're a missionary, whatever the case may be, like, yeah, we feel like, I don't feel like we're a partner. I feel like we're just kind of, we're just kind of people who pay our dues just so we pay our dues so we don't get fined, and that's about it. And we just keep going. And we have no energy. We have no energy to really. I mean, we have energy when we don't like what's happening in our movement and we want to complain about it, but we don't really have any engagement because we feel like that the national on a national level, we're not really seeing a lot of people really engaging with us. Sometimes it's interesting when you see, again, we have a lot of churches in the Church of God movement, but a lot of times when I see pictures of like our general director maybe visiting a couple churches or whatnot, like, I don't really see the general director taking pictures with people who are small church pastors. Hey, here's a successful church out in Montana. Hey, here's a successful church out in Fairfax, Virginia. Hey, here's a successful church down in Tampa, Florida. I'm not seeing, hey, I'm at this medium-sized church in Akron, Ohio, or hey, I'm at this small church in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Like, we're not seeing anybody from the national level really engaging with local churches. And again, maybe that's not their thing. Maybe that should be the state leadership. But what is the, but if we're seeing how, again, we have national leadership, we have state leadership, and then we have like our district leadership, especially if you're like in the state of Ohio where we have five districts, like, how does that flow of leadership work from the upper echelon down to the local church? And sometimes that gets a little fuzzy too on where the real power lies. So there is a lot of less engagement with Church of God ministries. Missional progress. The Church of God movement has been effective in fulfilling its vision and mission. 27% said clearly agree, 56% says on the fence, and 70% says clearly disagree. I have an issue with just the way they did this as far as just the survey. Because two things. If you're doing a three, if you're only doing having three options for you to vote for, a majority of your people are going to smack right down in the middle. And I feel like with the Church of God, we have so many people who are just sitting on the fence and doesn't want to make a clear distinction of saying, I mean, because again, clearly agree, clearly disagree, or in the middle, like I feel like that doesn't give me a good accurate thing. I feel like you need to do like a 5 points on this. Because with 5 points, you can do clearly agree, somewhat agree, on the fence, somewhat disagree, clear degree. And I believe you would break up that 56%. And you could really see a little bit of great movement of like, okay, there is a lot more people who are kind of moving towards they agree that we've been affected with our vision. Or you're going to see there's a little bit more people who are on the disagree. But, you know, that 56% doesn't tell me anything. Because they could be like, well, I kind of agree, I kind of disagree. Well, I would like to know you somewhat agree or disagree. And again, like anytime when there's a thing that says on the fence, that is always the biggest number on that survey. And I would love to see that breaking up a little bit more and doing like a 5-part Likert scale instead of a 3-point Likert scale.
A lot of stuff.
It is. And I mean, but yeah, like everything, like actually I have a favorable view of the Church of God ministries. 45% clearly agree, 40% on the fence, 12% clearly disagree, 2% don't know. Okay, so that's four. That's better, but still, that on the fence is 40. So I don't know if that's in the somewhat agree or somewhat disagree. Same thing. I can't even say that word, to be honest. Collegiate. How do you say that? But yeah, there's I with that C word,
Collegiality.
collegiality there. Thank you. I don't know why I was having a hard time trying to pronounce that. I experience a high level of collegiality as leaders work together in various endeavors. 49% on the fence, 37% agree, 50% disagree. Again, what's that? Somewhat agree, somewhat disagree. View of regional association. I find value in the relationship between the local church and a regional association. 55% agree, 10% disagree, 5% don't know, 30% on the fence. But at least what that says is that from a regional perspective, people find more, have a better relationship between their local church and your state ministries or your regional ministries. So at least that shows something. The resources provided by Church of God ministries have been effective in helping congregations like mine become more vital and effective. 19% clearly agree, 51% on the fence, 29% disagree. Again, if we split that on the fence up to two different categories, I think that would be we would probably see that. And again, just everything I'm talking about, we're paying higher dues, but for what? Like church engagement. On the whole, I feel my church current level engagement within our movement is much lower or lower than I expect, 56%. About right, 54%. Higher, much higher than I would like, 1%, and don't know, 9%. Motivation to change. In order to make significant progress towards your vision for the Church of God, how much change would be required? 1% to no change. 7% to small change. 41% moderate change. 35% large change, and 16% said almost everything. Now, that's a good survey. That really breaks it down. Now, I do kind of have a problem because I know on this cover page says there is a strong motivation for change among the Church of God with 92%. Strong motivation, but I'm looking at this motivation to change thing. Almost everything is 16%. Large change is 35%. Moderate change is 41%. I wouldn't consider moderate change strong change. And really, if you add up the 41, the 35, and the 16, that's where they're pulling their 92%. So I think I would say that there is motivation for change. I wouldn't use the word strong because obviously I'm looking at the data. And right now there's some people go, well, moderately we need to change. That gives me the same amount of energy or enthusiasm as on the fence.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Who did the survey?
The survey was done by NL Moore and Associates, and it also says and HCC. But yeah, this is the Vista Landscape Test. Yeah, so NL and Associates. So apparently NL Moore and Associates did this. Did this assessment.
Yeah, well,
And I haven't even read the top four priorities as the Church of God movement looks towards the future. I didn't even read that. Because even that, I'm just like, kind of like a little bit skeptical about that. Any other thoughts you have about this, Mike? I mean, it's kind of,
It makes me mad.
Well, tell me about that. Why does it make you mad, Micah?
I just wish that there was like it just feels like they're doing this to say they did it instead of actually fixing it. And that's just my opinion. But like are they truly going to change things? And if so, what are they going to change? Are they just going to say, "Hell, we did a survey," just like they did with the Justice Equity Task Force? It's like, yeah, they're making these subtle changes, like, oh, they're going to have a preacher Sunday where they have like all these women in pulpits across the Church of God. They're trying to have the diversity conversation, which is great. However, there's a lot of other problems that need to be addressed. And just throwing a survey out there to see where we are isn't really fixing those problems. It's creating awareness, but what are they truly going to do to fix it?
Well, let's look at the four priorities. Number one, embark on a major leadership development effort across the church to recruit and shape effective leaders for the next generation.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say this. This was a story because I was just Tuesday, because you sent this thing to me, you sent this email to me. Tuesday, I had my performance review at the church I'm working at. And the performance review was great. I would say glowing review. A lot of great encouragement, so it's good. But it's funny because then after a while but the thing is here's the thing: the pastor, every time we have a conversation, we actually sit down and have a good lengthy conversation when we're not busy doing our two separate ministries that we're involved in the church. She keeps asking me, "Hey, do you want to be ordained into UMC?" And every time she asks me that, I say, "No, not really." You know what I mean? And there's a lot of reasons why I don't want to change, because there's certain things, because again, I think, and this is something that me and my buddy talked about. We were talking about Northeast Ohio, because I'm taking a missions group up to the NEO campgrounds to do missions work up there, to kind of help get stuff ready for their kids' camp. So, even though I'm bringing a bunch of UMC students up to a Church of God campground to be able to do some work, so I think that would be kind of good to do that. But the thing that I find so fascinating is we were talking about how, man, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems at that campground, a lot of problems that that campground has endured over the years. But yet, even though it has all its flaws, we would do everything we can to help that camp. Same thing, like if I was in a different position, I would have done everything I could to really fight to keep Marengo open. I was in Virginia at the time, so I didn't really have a vote or say so of what was going to happen there. So that was kind of a, so that was kind of a thing that really, really still bothers me to this day. But it was funny. I was talking about stuff, and I was talking about, this with my pastor. I was talking about the summary and just kind of the discouragement I feel. And the pastor said this. She said, "Well, I know the church's God is good because it produced you." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, wow! Like, get me tears in my eyes, man. Like, geez, way to hit me in the feels, Pastor Colleen. But no, but I mean, I think there's a lot of great leaders, and that's the problem. I feel like when I was in at camp ministry, when I was in youth, there was a great part on that leadership, the elders, the older generation of that time, to really help breed the next generation of leaders from a local church up to a state level, and then also nationally with, like, and again, I'm thinking like IYC and all that. And yet those kids who felt the call to ministry, who went to Warner, Mid-America, Anderson, went and got leadership and became pastors, Like a lot, there's a probably a good majority of them who went into ministry and now won't no longer work in a ministry because, again, they got into ministry and they never felt like that they were validated as leaders. They always felt like that they were always kind of on the outskirts, while people who probably shouldn't have been in leadership positions or people who probably should have kind of become more of a mentor than a leader in that role because they're kind of aging out, still wanted to be in power, still wanted to make influence, felt like that this was going to make them a big name in the Church of God, because I always hear that being a big player, a big name in the Church of God. I feel like that verbiage itself is what's killing the movement. Because you're keeping great leaders, hungry leaders, people who are millennials, Gen Z, and like, I think about my son's generation. Those kids, hungry, they want to see change within the movement. They want to do things. They actually value the Church of God and everything that it means to them, and yet we continue to keep pushing them off the side of the road. So, I mean, number one is very encouraging to hear that that's something that they need to recognize. At the same time, you can shape effective leaders, but are you going to implement them into leadership positions within the Church of God? And unfortunately, the way the Church of God works, if I was the general director, I can't say, I see value in this person. I want them to be oversee this or this or this. Everything has to be approved and voted on. So if there's people who are like, oh, I don't think that person's too young, or that person is a, even though it's the Church of God, that person's a woman, like they may not get the votes because of other people saying, well, because I feel this way, I'm not going to do it because I don't think they're right because they're too young or whatever. And I feel like that's kind of a detriment. Number two, equip congregations to be more responsive and effective in addressing community issues and needs. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if that has to be a national thing. I feel like the state can do that. You know what I mean? Because how can the national level address the community needs of Columbus, Ohio, as well as it can address the community needs of Stanton, Virginia? They're two different communities. And if anything, I think the state director of Ohio Ministries has more of a handle on how to meet the needs of the community within Columbus. And I believe the director of Virginia Ministries, or COGVA, can clearly know how to address the needs of Stanton, Virginia, because they both live in that state. They both know the demographics. They both know kind of what's going on. And that I think would be beneficial. Make available the Church of God movement congregation resources and strategies that enhance effectiveness in doing ministry in today's church. Oh, so does that mean my dues mean I'm going to get resources that I don't have to pay for, but they're free because I'm actually paying my $300 dues? Because my vision as general, as hypothetically, my vision as general director, number three would be solved. Here's some resources. And even if I find, and if a while, if the pastors say, hey, this resources are not really helpful to what I need to do, okay, well, let's go back to the drawing board. What resources would be helpful for you in your ministry? And not just sit there and draw it out for 11 years and go, oh, we didn't really like this. Well, say something, because we can always make changes. Number four, create and implement a collaborative strategy for church multiplication across the movement in the US and Canada. I am sick and tired of hearing church multiplication. I've heard that word for 10 years and nothing has been done. And yet I see smaller churches, as a small church pastor, I've seen smaller churches that have good bones, but they really need resources to help them. And we never got resources. And I feel like the strategy is let the smaller churches die off. Let's take their property because they conditionally deed their property to us so then we can go and plant more churches. Now, I understand there's our churches that are going to die. They've had their lifespan. They're going to die, right? And I get that. I understand that.
But that's church multiplication, Scott.
I get that.
No,
But at the
I'm
same
being
time,
sarcastic.
but at the same, I know that's church multiplication. But at the same time, if there's churches that are good, that have good bones, that have a good structure, that have good leadership, but they just kind of had a couple of rough goes. Maybe they had some bad leadership the last couple years, or maybe the last two pastorships, and now they have a really strong leader in there, but they really need resources. And if the church can give them some resources, or the church God can give them resources that can help them do great ministry and really move up, like for me, that would be a win. But I feel like the Church of God, when they say church multiplication, it has become a dirty word. And I think anytime when people push, and I understand people want to put church multiplication, because if you do have churches that die, you want to put a build a new one in its place. Just like if I cut down a dead tree, I should put a brand new tree up. You know, that's because again, trees are going to give me life. They produce oxygen. They're going to give me life. So if I cut down trees, I need to plant new ones. I get that. But I feel like from on a state level and from a national level, all I have heard, multiplication, multiplication, multiplication. And yet, I feel like all that money that been poured into church multiplication, I think some of that funds could have been easier to invest in some smaller churches that had some good bones to give them a boost to really help them succeed. And you know, and the reality is, it would probably be a lot cheaper too. I mean, if it was just
What, then
like,
giving all this money to plant churches and then they fail, and then you're just basically investing in nothing?
because here's the thing, and I'll be honest, like let's say like if the one thing I needed at the church I was pastoring was to have a secondary pastor, whether it be an associate, children's minister, youth minister, or whatever, like if I could have hired a paid staff member at the last church I worked at, and absolutely, or maybe even just a worship leader, someone who could lead worship and really kind of do great stuff there, then I would feel like ideally that if we could pay the money, and just like not like a full-time person, but just say, hey, if the national office or if COGVA could pay me bivocational or part-time salary for this person, give me the money to kind of fund them for 3 years. Let's just say 3 years. And then the church can kind of go ahead and do the other half. So it makes that person a full-time person. I think that would be, let's see, like let's say if it's $40,000 for a full-time person for this worship leader, okay? Let's just say 40 grand. And COGVA gives me 20. My church gives 20. All right. At the end of the year, that's $60,000 that COGVA has invested into this person to kind of help this church gain traction, right? And hopefully, you know, by the way, worship is, if that's the thing that we've kind of identified as our big weakness that we really need to revamp, and we start seeing more people going and we start seeing our giving kind of increasing, then we know it's a success. And then maybe that gives the church saying, okay, well, in 3 years, this money's going to run dry. We're not going to get stuff from COGVA anymore. But we can take the risk of still paying this person a full-time salary, because we've already seen in 3 years, we have seen a track record of this going up, giving going up, membership increasing, baptisms increasing. We are seeing things increasing in a good direction. So where it's okay for us to bite the bullet. It's okay to pull funds from our reserves or our barn houses to fund that. And I believe me, the COGVA paying $60,000 for 3 years for this person to come in as an auxiliary staff for this small church would probably be a lot cheaper than not only helping to pay for a pastor, but then also pay rent for a building and pay for all this stuff that goes into chairs, tables, sound system, everything else that we are pushing money towards to kind of get a church plant off its feet.
Not
That's my
wrong.
opinion. So when I see step four, church multiplication, it makes me just want to say, no. I've heard the church multiplication thing for the last 10, 13 years, and it hasn't worked. So why are we still pushing something that's not going to work? Why are you pushing something? In a collaborative strategy, we've been doing that for 13 years, and we have not seen anything. Our churches continue to get smaller and smaller. Every time we plant a church, five have to die in its place. Or more, depending on what region you're in. So I have a big problem with number four, and that's just a personal thing. That's not me using my leadership ability or skills. That's a personal thing that I find problematic. Because it hasn't worked, so I don't know why we're continuing to push that. I would rather push church revitalization than church multiplication. As the hypothetical director of the Church of God movement, which if they offered it to me, I'd probably say absolutely not. Because in reality, I would have great ideas that could really help the movement, but I would get no support because everything has to be approved by the General Assembly. And if people say, no, we don't want this, or we like church multiplication, we don't want to do church revitalization, then they just kind of.
No.
I mean, and even Jim said it himself at one of his town halls. You know, it's a great honor to be general director, but I don't have a lot of power to do any change. And part of me goes, then you just become just a figurehead of the movement and you don't really have any power. You're like the great big powerful Oz. That's the illusion you get, but really you're just the man behind the curtain.
Powerful Oz. So much that could be said, right? I mean, it's just, it's a big mess is what it is. And I think go ahead.
It is a mess. It is a mess. And I'm hoping that, and again, not like a lot of people listen to this podcast, but I'm hoping someone from the Ministries Council would actually listen to this and hear some young leaders, or I guess we're not that young anymore, but here are some young leaders who really
have speak for yourself
and speak about, well, yeah, I'm the old fogey here. But they would really listen to this and go, okay, we're now hearing, we're kind of getting like, cause again, you can take a survey and you just have to kind of, and a lot of times when you hear a survey, like when you hear about on the fence, it's hard to gauge on the fence. And even if we did split off into five, clearly agree, somewhat agree, on the fence, somewhat disagree, and clearly disagree, and using that verbiage, even with that language, I have a better understanding. I have a better pulse on the culture, but I don't really know unless I hear people's stories. And frankly, if the ministry councils hear you and me talk about this and talk about our concerns with this finding and everything else, like to me, I think that this, and again, this is my opinion, but I feel like this will kind of give an insight to how you and I feel about this, because it's not only necessarily you and I's feelings, but you talk to your buddy, I talk to my buddy, I talk to my buddies about this, and we're kind of on the same page. These young leaders in the movement all kind of are on the same page when it comes to this. Like, it's a mess. And here's the reason why it's a mess. And here's some of the things I have problems with. Here's some of the verbiage I have that I feel like, and even, you know, nothing against NL Moore and Associates, but just having 3 points to vote on, I felt like did a disservice. Because if I could split that 56% and I realized that, oh, it's only 10% strongly agree, but now I have 46% that says somewhat disagree on effective and fulfill on the Church of God effective on fulfilling its vision and mission, that's going to give me a clear picture. We have failed fulfilling our vision and mission because the majority of that disagrees with that. And I need to figure out the people who clearly disagree with it or somewhat disagree with this, why they feel that way. Where did we drop the ball in our vision and mission?
That would take a long time and a lot of counseling and a lot of unpacking.
Yeah.
And that was another thing I told my friend, you know, when I mentioned my Stories Gone Wild segment. I just think that there's a lot of younger leaders, pastors, and this is what I told my friend, that I'm just tired of fighting for it. I'm tired of fighting about it. I'm tired of fighting for it because it's like, where are we going? And if you don't know where we're going, then why would I bother? You know? It's so hard to get invested in something where there's no energy. There's no direction. There's no cause. I mean, the cause, ultimately is the gospel and leading people to Jesus. But like, I just told my friend, it's like, man, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm tired of the politics. I'm tired of these conversations that lead to nowhere. I'm just tired as an individual. And I went through a mental, health crisis last fall. And it's like, it's not worth my time and my stress. It's just not. Like you said, Scott, you went to, yes, it's because of, the job, presented itself to you and your family, and you were able to move back home to Ohio. And it seems that you're doing very well where you are, and you like it where you're at, and your pastor adores you, and you're in a good space. But you're not in the Church of God. I'm going to a Baptist church, and we've really been enjoying it. And but I would argue that like the gospel is still being preached, regardless of whether it's a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Church of God church. It's like I get tired of the same song and dance, and it's like, let's do something different to better the kingdom of God. And it just seems like that these people don't want to.
Yeah.
And it's so heartbreaking because like I want to, and for so long I wanted to be, I wanted to lead these big churches and small churches and mega church, whatever. I just wanted to be a part of that culture, the Church of God culture. And I still do. I just
Yeah.
feel like at this point in my life, I don't know if I'm making much sense, but I just feel like at this point in my life, it's just like I needed to take a step back because it's just so discouraging.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
And the reality, Micah, is you feel that way, I feel that way, and there's probably a lot of other people who feel that way too. And you're
And
not
nobody
alone
wants
in
to
those
say it.
feelings. Well, we're saying it, but are they, I mean, and here's the thing, I'm almost curious if people are saying it, it's just we're not being listened to.
Makes sense.
I mean, because pretty much most of my friends on Facebook, besides high school and besides like a majority, like a section of its high school, but a majority are people who went to Anderson with me. People who are part of the Church of God. Like that's a majority of my friends list on Facebook. So I know when I put a podcast out, hey, here's the topic on the Church of God in this update and kind of our reflections on this general director search and summary of where we are as a movement, like, I'm sure people could easily like tap into that and listen to that and be like,
Relate.
but they probably don't. They're like, oh, well, either the algorithm's not showing my stuff because they don't interact with me, which is fine. But then I think the other part of it is, well, we don't care what this person has to say because my last name's not this person who's kind of a bigwig in the Church of God. I'm just a nobody in the Church of God, which is kind of where a lot of people feel. I don't matter in the Church of God. Unless I build a church from the ground up, or unless I'm a church planter, a great church planter, or at least I have some movement within the national or regional leadership within the movement, then really, I don't have a voice. And yet, the majority of the Church of God are filled with people who are voiceless. People who say we're noticing something going on, and they're completely ignored because they haven't kissed the butts of upper echelon Anderson. But friends,
I think I've said all I wanted to say about this.
I know, and it's hard. It's hard. I mean, I feel like this show just went down on a downer, but I mean, it's hard to kind of. And that's the thing, like, we read this letter and they're writing it in a way to kind of pump us up, like, hey, 92% see strong movement towards us being better. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, but when I look at that data, when I look at those percentages, it's telling me a different story. I really don't
Yeah.
see, I mean, I see that there's some people who want to see change. I think there's some people who like are hopeful that there's going to be some strong change and some really good change happening in our movement. But I don't think that's really clearly what it's telling us. I'd say there's some change. It's not a strong change. I'm sorry. That was bad wording in that email. But friends, what do you think? If you're someone in the Church of God and you've read the email, you've looked at the survey, I mean, where are you at? Are you kind of like with where Mike and I are at, where we're kind of still discouraged about this? We're kind of like, man, what a mess. Or are you someone who goes, I really think that this is a good thing for change? And again, we want to hear your comments, and you can either reply to both our YouTube page or send us a message at our website, thescottsemin.com. Just put email us, and we definitely will read your emails. But friends, that's it for us. I hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and we'll be back on with another episode. Take
Thank you
care.
for listening to the Scott Semin Podcast. The Scott Semin Podcast is made possible by support from our listeners. We thank listeners like Patty and Scott, whose support goes to this podcast's continual growth and maintenance. If you want to support this podcast, you can do so in a number of ways. First, feel free to give us a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode and share it with your friends. If you'd like to financially support the Scott Semin Podcast, you can go to the website ko-fi.com/thescottseminpodcast. That website again is ko-fi.com/thescottseminpodcast. Thank you so much for listening.